And again, I want to commend you for your singing, because from where I am standing, I can hear how you sing so harmoniously. And I do pray and hope that you continue this singing, because we want you to sing to God and to praise Him, because God delights to hear your singing. And let us now turn to the scriptures, to Ephesians chapter 6. And beginning this afternoon, I'd like to begin a series on the Christian soldier. And then we will make a very careful study of Ephesians 6. So let's read Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as man pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be born or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatenings, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Let me read those words in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. With these words, Paul begins to speak about the Christian warfare. And it is this theme that he wants to discuss and speak to his readers before he ends the epistle. Be strong in the Lord. Paul writes these words as a seasoned soldier, as one who has fought in the front line for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was wounded. He was in many occasions beaten by the enemies. But he was never defeated. So as a seasoned soldier now, he speaks to the church in Ephesus. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. This is his exhortation to the church, and this is the Holy Spirit's exhortation to us this afternoon. Finally, this is what you need to do. Be strong in the Lord. Now, we must never overlook the word that he begins with, finally. Because here it is not just discussing that this is just one final thing I want to tell you before I end. But with this word finally, he's really making a connection of this Christian warfare that he wants to discuss with all that he has said before in this letter. Here he writes a very important letter to the church. He speaks about how the church starts in eternity. He speaks about how God in Jesus Christ forms the church out of a fallen race. Then he speaks to the church in chapter 4 and chapter 5 about the importance of holy living. You need to walk circumspectly. You need to watch your enemies. You need to walk in love. You need to be charitable. You need to be Christian people with an excellent testimony. Frankly, how do we do this? We have a fallen nature. The world continues to be evil. How then do we fulfill this calling of holy living as worthy members of the Church of Jesus Christ? Now Paul writes as a pastor as he ends this letter. I know the difficulties. I know how hard it is. So finally, I want you to do this. Be strong in the Lord. The Lord is with you as you go through life to fight this battle. And this is what I want to do as I begin this series on the Christian soldier. I want to begin with this exhortation. Be strong in the Lord. I want first of all to speak to you about the need to be strong in the Lord, then the source of this strength. And then finally, we want to look at some areas in which you and I, we need to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Now the idea of this exhortation is this. Brethren, you need to be full of courage. You mustn't rely on your flesh. Yes, life is hard, the battle must go on. You need to continue a consistent Christian living and testimony. But you must never give up. You must take up courage. Be strong in the Lord. Now, this is the idea. What are the reasons? Why is it that here Paul wants you and I to be strong in the Lord as we fight this Christian battle? Let me give you some reasons. The first reason, obviously, is this. We are in the Lord's battle. Every Christian believer is engaged in a fight, in a battle. It is a fierce wrestling. Because here the text tells us that our enemies are evil, unseen. And it is described later on in verse 12 as spiritual forces ruling in very dark places. We have a battle to fight. We will discuss this a while later, but at this point, I want you to realize that indeed we are in a battle. We must never be complacent. We must never bluff ourselves and think that the Christian life is a bed of roses. There are no enemies. There are no hardship. There is really a conflict that is taking on. Now, when God saves us in Jesus Christ, He does not recruit us to perform on stage and to show others how talented we are with our abilities. When God saves us, He recruits us to be soldiers. He saves us to fight in a battlefield. And for this reason, we need to be strong. We need to be strong in the Lord for the Lord's kingdom. The Lord is King. And here the devil also wants to control and dominate every kingdom of this world and wants to militate against the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The battle is ongoing. And we are soldiers fighting for Christ. And it is this urgent reason that here Paul exhorts the church, be strong in the Lord. Second reason, the enemies are fearful. They are unseen. And precisely because they are unseen,
It is a very fearful thing. It is like the Americans fighting the terrorists in Baghdad. There's quite a different war when you can see your enemies and you can shoot, you know where your target is. But when you're fighting terrorists, they are unseen. They are hidden behind the wall. And they ambush you in very unexpected areas. And for this reason, the Christian warfare is very fearful. You don't see the enemy. There are demons loitering, waiting to pounce upon you when you are careless, crafty in their ways, and very deceitful. They are, according to verse 12, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness. At this point, again, we do not need to discuss the detail in verse 12 because we will come to that in a later sermon. But I just want to highlight to you the fact that the enemy is indeed very powerful. They can inflict severe wounds upon a believer. Take a look at the case of Job, which we are studying in the morning service. Severe wounds, with the intention to bring down Job to the point where he complained against God. And he can dislodge a person from the church and make him go wayward for years, despite the fact that the person receives covenant education at the home. Very powerful enemy. He can mislead us into unbelief. For a while the person may appear very conservative and orthodox, but if he is concerned about popularity, he can be misled by the enemy to stray from the truth and then to embrace unbelief. Brethren, the enemy we fight is fearful, not against flesh and blood, but against unseen spiritual forces. That means it has eternal consequences. Third reason, we are weak in our flesh and spirit. And this is why here Paul writes these words, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Not in yourself, because you have a fallen human nature. Naturally, we are weak in the flesh. Galatians 5, Paul tells us that the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. There's always a constant warring and fighting, and this goes on all the time. For a believer who is not progressing in his faith, this is frustrating, because there's this constant tension. God wants me to do this, but the temptations of the world is luring me to do otherwise. If the person is not growing and developing in Christian maturity, this is a tension. Even for mature believers, this continues to be a tension. The flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. We are very vulnerable. We can be easily victimized. We are weak not only in the sense that we have a fallen nature, but we have a spirit and a temper and a constitution that can be easily discouraged. You know that, I know that. When we fail in a task, when we yield to temptation, you feel frustrated, don't you? You feel discouraged. Why can't I overcome that sin? It comes back so many times. Why can't I succeed in this thing that I want to do? Why is it that I don't understand God in His Word? Why is it that my relationship with God is constantly so far and I don't sense the closeness of God? We have a temper and a constitution that can be easily discouraged. So Paul says, be strong in the Lord. Fourth reason, the Christian life is not easy. When God takes us to the kingdom of Jesus Christ, it's a glorious life. The promise is glorious. It is everlasting life with Christ in heaven. But yet, as pilgrims, we know that the life is not easy. Chapter 4, chapter 5, Paul talks about the need to walk constantly in faith, in love, in holiness. That kind of constancy and consistency requires striving, requires exertion. If you are idle, then you are the devil's playground. It's not easy, the Christian life. For all these reasons, Paul says, be strong in the Lord. But then let me add one more reason before we go on, and that is especially in connection with the armor of God. We need to be strong so that we can take up the armor of God effectively. And this is what Paul says later on, put on the whole armor of God. This is a spiritual armor. When you put it on, you need spiritual strength. Now, if we can use again the analogy of the armor of God or armor on a soldier, in those days, they don't wear comfortable uniforms like our men in the National Service do. Those are solid metal pieces, heavy to put on, difficult to maneuver and to fight. And to do that, you need strength. So here Paul says, likewise, if you put on spiritual armor to fight the battle, you need strength. Strength to wear the helmet, strength to take the sword, strength to put on the belt, strength to put on your boots and to walk for the gospel of peace. You need that strength. Now, if I may use an illustration, it is like a novice trying to play tennis. Maybe first few times, and he wants to perfect the game as fast as possible. So what does he do? He goes to the sports shop and he buys perhaps the most expensive tennis racket, titanium. Maybe one used that is by a professional player. He buys it, $500. He goes to the court completely confident. Why? $500 racket. But the opponent is a seasoned player, $200 racket. But we're not talking about just using the best equipment. We're speaking about skills and strength and ability. It's foolish, isn't it, to fight the battle in this way and say, I have the armor, I don't need to be skilled. Be strong in the Lord. So where then do we get this strength? What is our source? The text says very clearly, be strong in the Lord. Where do we get the strength to fight this battle? In the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in ourselves. Now, I do not want to repeat the fact that we are weak in the flesh. This is a very obvious truth. But I do want to highlight the spirit of this present day and age. Modern men believe that they are able to do all things. You can achieve. You can do it. Even our neighbor is saying, "Bule, we can do all things." This is the spirit of the age. Man can succeed. Man is intelligent. We don't need anything. Especially, we don't need religion. We don't need a God to interfere in our affairs and to tell us what to do. If there's a problem, we have ability and talent and intelligence to solve our problems. Man is very self-centered. That is because he thinks he can manage his life. But this is a spirit that this text opposes. Be strong not in yourselves, be strong in the Lord. Where is our strength, brethren? Our strength rests in God. Rests in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. It is Christ now who gives us this strength to fight this battle. Now, to make this a point that he wants his readers to understand, Paul adds to this admonition, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, this is a very interesting phrase. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Power is not the same as might. Although children naturally tend to equate the two to be the same. Power is not the same as might. What is power? Power refers to the ability to do something. It is the strength in the doing of a thing. You perform a thing, you have the power to do it. Might refers to the strength that is inherent in us. That is the difference. Power is the ability to do a thing, to perform it. Might refers to the strength that is inherent in us. Power, in other words, is different from might. The power of his might refers to the power to accomplish something according to the strength that is inherent in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me explain with an illustration. Think of a very muscular person. Sometimes we say, wow, that's a mighty person, a person with might. Now, when we say something like this, usually we refer to his bulging muscles, his biceps, his physique, and we say that he has that raw power to do a thing. Might refers to that. Might refers to the raw muscles in the body. Power will be what he can do with that raw muscles. Maybe he can lift you up with one hand. Or when you get into a fight with him, he can single-handedly throw you on the wall and hurt you. The power is what is unleashed from the inherent might. Now here Paul is saying something very important. Be strong in the Lord. Why? Because he has the power to accomplish great things. And this power is according to the might that is inherent in his person. And this is what Paul wants us to look at. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the might of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's begin with the first, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Power to create. Power to call things out of nothing. He powerfully does this. Even without exerting any of his strength, he calls with his word, and things come into existence. Power. He has the power to perform miracles, to turn water into wine, to still the stormy sea, to multiply the loaves and the fishes, to feed the 5,000. He has the power to heal diseases, power to drive out demons. Power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the power to defeat the devil and to do it in a way that is completely surprising, because he surprised the enemy with that power. They put him on the cross and they hang him there. But on the third day, according to the power of the Spirit, he rose from the dead. That is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Lord who gives that strength in your life. Power to create, power to perform, power to accomplish things. But this power comes from the might that is inherent in the person of the Son of God. The might of the Lord Jesus Christ means this. What kind of strength is there in the Lord? What kind of raw power that is inherent in his nature and person? He is the very Son of God, essentially God, not made, but one with God in eternity. Not just the very man who walks on the earth and interacts with sinners and bring down the gospel of peace, but he is essentially very God. So much so that Paul writes in the letter to the church in Colossae that the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ. And then he says, in Christ is hid all the mysteries of wisdom and knowledge, so that he knows all things from the beginning and is able to do anything. And with the Son of God, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, all things are possible. And this is the kind of Lord that we believe. What is our source? It lies in the risen Lord, in his power, in his might. Now, what then are the areas in life that we need to be strong in the Lord in? Now, I want to look with you at the armor of God, not in detail, because we will speak about each piece separately in a sermon. But I want to relate the admonition here in verse 10, be strong in the Lord, and relate it to the armor of God, each piece. I do this in order to show you that we need to be strong in these pieces of the armor of God. For example, he writes, as he speaks about the whole armor of God in verse 12, in verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." What area in life do we need to be strong in the Lord? The area of truth. Put on the belt of truth. This is one area. The area of truth. The word truth here, however, does not refer to the body of doctrine. Does not refer to the word of God. The word truth here refers to the quality of mind and heart. It refers, as Calvin says, to sincerity. In other words, we need to be strong in integrity, in sincerity. And when God calls us to embrace saving faith, he wants a sincere follower, one who sincerely fights for the kingdom. If our religion is not sincere, then we have already been overcome by the enemy, because he loves insincere religion. Because insincere religion is really hypocrisy. So we need to be strong in this area of truthfulness and sincerity. And this is where we need to ask ourselves a question to examine our faith. How sincere are we as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we here because we are taken into the church? Are we here because our friends are here? Are we Christians because Christian people in my office have helped me? Or Christian neighbors have been kind to me? Is it because I've seen an inspiring Christian testimony, so that I feel that Christianity is a very credible religion? Sincerity, truthfulness. We need to be strong in sincerity, first area. Then secondly, he goes on as he speaks about the armor of God, about righteousness, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And this is the second area that we need to be strong in. Strong in righteousness. Righteousness here refers to righteousness in conduct, or as Calvin puts it, a blameless life. So here, Paul is speaking about being upright in your conscience and in your life, in your conduct and testimony. In other words, a holy life. We need to be strong in holy living. Now again, here we need to be careful, because holy living is a result of justification after we have a right relationship with God. And here Paul is saying, maintain that holiness. Yes, very difficult, but be strong in the Lord. You need to maintain that holy life. The question to us: how credible is your life and my life? It is very easy to destroy Christianity in a community, because people in the world love to read about scandals. A slight scandal will damage the testimony in your office, or in the community, or in the church. And the devil loves to create that kind of temptation where a Christian is scandalized and his testimony is discredited. And this is where we have to exercise caution and carefulness. We have to be very alert. We live in a very evil day. We live in a day in which temptations are great. Evil is increasing. It is very easy to lose our credibility. We have to be strong in our righteous conduct. And this is where we must mutually help one another. Where there's failure, there must be forgiveness. Following forgiveness, there must be encouragement. We strive together, knowing that we have a fallen human nature. Be strong in righteousness. Then later on, he speaks in verse 15 about your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Be strong in this area. strong to march on with the gospel of peace readily. In other words, to be ready at all times to stand firm in the gospel, and then to carry the gospel to others. Are you equipped with the gospel? How well are you able to speak the gospel to others? Do you stand firm, solidly rooted in the doctrines of the faith? Be strong. Be strong with the gospel of peace and bring that to others. Then be strong in faith. He speaks there in verse 16 about taking the shield of faith. Be strong in faith. Now faith is a very strong weapon. Because here you notice that when he speaks about faith, faith is able to quench the fiery darts of the evil one. Faith is strong. But faith is strong only because faith rests in Christ. The power of his might, the power that is in Christ, the might that is in him. God is able to accomplish all things, and this is what faith believes. Faith is persuaded that God is right. And it's important that we have that conviction. I'm not sure about this or that. I have to make important decisions. This temptation, is it something I can do, I can proceed? Is it grey area? Is it outrightly evil? I need to have sound counsel. Faith says God is right. That is what faith is. And faith believes that God can do all things, accomplish all things, and that what God says in his word is true. Now this kind of faith removes doubts and it overcomes the world. Again, we don't have to speak in detail, but this is one area that you and I, we have to be strong in. How strong is your faith? Now a good question to ask would be not how many doctrines you can recite, but do you believe in all that God says, all that God promises concerning your life? That even if you are tried with adversities, you hold on dearly to the truth that God works this thing out for good. That is a very solid doctrine, a very assuring teaching. How strong is your faith, especially when it is tried? Then he moves on to speak about the helmet of salvation. Be strong in salvation. Now salvation here refers to the hope of salvation. Paul has in view here in verse 17 the end that will happen when Jesus Christ returns. And here he says, be strong in assurance of salvation, especially the hope that Christ will come to save you. Now this is something especially the church at that time needed. Persecuted by Emperor Nero, they were scattered all over the Roman Empire. They could not meet openly but were beaten, and they had to be drawn out of their meeting places. And so the end in view is very important. Be strong in this hope of salvation. Now a question to ask: do you hope for heaven constantly and set your affections on things above? Then number 6, be strong in the word of God. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. How strong are you? How able are you to hold the word of God firmly as a sword so that you can use it skillfully to defeat your enemy? Do you know the doctrines? Are you able to use it as the Lord Jesus Christ did when he fought the devil? Are you able to recall the truths, the promises, when especially you need it in times of crisis? Are you reading the Bible, committing it to memory? Then finally, be strong in prayer. After speaking about the armor of God, Paul says in verse 18, praying always. Prayer is necessary to fight the battle of faith. Again, because we cannot do anything against the evil one ourselves. We must rest in God. And to do that, we pray constantly. Are you strong in prayer? Do you meet with others to pray? Now, this brings us back to what we have talked about at the very beginning, to be strong in the Lord. In conclusion, let me make three brief applications. First of all, the Christian is not a coward. The Christian is not a coward. He confronts the enemies. He does not run away from difficulties of life. He faces it. But he faces all these problems and his enemies in the strength that the Lord Jesus Christ gives him. Because Christ is the one who has obtained the victory. He's not a coward. He fights for Christ and he conquers for his kingdom. Secondly, the Lord is in charge in this conflict and battle. Be strong in the Lord definitely implies that the Lord is in charge. You must understand that the Christian battle is not this, that the Lord puts you in a battlefield in which you might be destroyed. That is not Reformed Christianity. Neither is there biblical teaching. The Lord does not put you and I into the battlefield in order that we might be destroyed. Christ has obtained the victory, but he puts us in a battlefield in order that we may conquer domains for Christ and gather the elect out of all these places of darkness. He puts us there in order to conquer and to fight and defeat the enemy. The Lord is in charge of your life when you are tempted by the devil. Number three, we must not put confidence in the arm of flesh. Never say we will do this because we have talents. Never say we do this because we have resources. Or we are well because we have a good heritage. We need to put away all self-confidence, all self-reliance. The Lord is in charge. The hymn in which we will sing later on has these beautiful words: the arms of flesh will fail you, you dare not trust your own. Be strong in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we need to be strong in you. May you continue to give us the power of Christ through the Holy Spirit, so that we will continue to live a life that is holy and righteous, and that we can overcome temptations, we can conquer places and souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, we commend ourselves to you. May you bless us with your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.